This is Nell. I'm going to be talking about The Love Wife by Gish Jin. Throughout this novel, I think that Gish Jin is asking us to make connections between adoption, in an immediately familial sense, and in a global sense, as a metaphor for national identity. By juxtaposing Wendy's adoption with a discussion of racial identity and belonging, it's worth reading a section I didn't read out loud, the bottom paragraph of page 125 and onto the next page, a description of Carnegie next to Chinese men, we can see a continuum between intimate belonging and artificial incorporation. I'll talk about this a little bit later in the podcast. First, though, we should explore the nuances of adopting children and unpack the lore and myths surrounding adoption and natural childbirth. Gish Jin gives us a real feeling for Blondie's wonder and delight in her new daughter, Wendy, even in the midst of external chaos. What we most notice, though, is how foreign Blondie feels, and how foreign Wendy feels to Blondie. Blondie's out of place. She feels too large, too clumsy. She doesn't recognize Wendy yet. She must rub her lips to see if they've been rouged. And it's, quote, thrilling when Wendy does the most mundane things, such as opening her mouth. These emotions can be found among other new mothers with their newborns. How different is this really from new mothers being struck with amazement at 10 fingers and 10 toes, or speechless with delight when their children smile or make silly faces? But Blondie's relationship with Wendy goes beyond simple surprise at her differentness. Blondie must make a conscious effort at creating intimacy between herself, her new child, and her other child. Her focus is on the artificial aspects of child-rearing. Breast pumps, and, later in the passage which I didn't read, soy versus milk powder, and the different types of artificial nipple tips to go on a high-tech baby bottle. We don't doubt that Blondie's intentions are anything but good here. Clearly, she's putting time and emotional energy into becoming the best mother she can be. She's not holding back. I, at least, was sympathetic with her somewhat comical attempts to keep a sense of calm in the midst of the riot outside. She plans to love Wendy with all her heart, but it's a conscious decision full of concern for artificial ways to bolster their intimate connection. When Bailey's born, on the other hand, we have to examine how natural childbirth informs Blondie's comprehension of the mother-child bond. Intimacy with Bailey is there from the beginning. It's unlike anything she's ever felt before. It's instant, immediate, primal. How, then, do we read her statement that, of course we love the girls just the same? Is this just a story she's telling herself, a kind of self-policing for political correctness? I have to proceed cautiously here, for this is an area which gets touchy pretty fast, but this is what I make of it. Blondie truly loves her children. She wouldn't change them, and she loves them as individuals. That bond, though, between parents and adopted children, isn't as immediate, as facile, as between biological parents and children, and to deny that, in my mind, is only to create future confusion and anxiety. Biological children are an affirmation of one's own identity, a genetic assurance into the future, and a mirror into history and family. On page 55, Lizzie challenges Blondie about whether she'd make the same family over again, and Lizzie accuses Blondie of dishonesty. You couldn't exactly say you wish you hadn't adopted me or Wendy, not to our faces. And later, but you wish maybe we'd be more like Bailey and like you. Lizzie is too perceptive to really buy that Blondie sees her and Bailey in the same way, and her mother's insistence that we couldn't begin to imagine life without you doesn't get to the heart of the issue. Adopted children don't benefit by dishonesty about the complexities of the emotions involved, but how do you discuss it? Maybe tomorrow you'll have some ideas, or at least some criticisms of Blondie's approach, the, of course I love you just the same, don't be silly, approach. I think that Gish Jin does a wonderful job portraying the hazards, joy, and mishmash of emotion involved in adoption, and in pushing sensitive issues in a delicate and, as one reviewer says, big-hearted way. Once she moves away from character-based, insight-driven nuances, though, and into the realm of plot twists, she falls apart. Lan, the character, is, in my mind, superfluous to the driving force of the novel, and often serves only to detract. She feels forced, unnatural, and out of place. The outlandish plot twists at the end serve only to exaggerate her bizarre role in the narrative. In fact, the narrative itself deserves some discussion. If you buy my claim that the novel is really about the connection between intimacy and identity, adoption into families and racial identity being first and foremost, and that plot basically serves to detract from the novel's continuity, then I think you agree that the format provides each character with breathing room and privacy. We have Blondie on a therapist's couch. She can make personal confessions. We see the interactions that are so precious between families, naturally. Interrupting, adding stories, arguing. But if you're interested in the plot rather than character study, I think the format gets messy. It's not clear who's talking, when, and why. plot lines get hidden beneath personality, and that can leave the reader a bit confused and a bit frustrated. I guess my main question is whether forced intimacy is equivalent to real intimacy, whether soup du jour's families are fundamentally any different than classic families, and how much national identity follows a similar flow. Are nations just big adopted families? Does national identity follow similar patterns as familial affiliations? Does this book address these issues well, or do stylistic and plot choices camouflage the real issues at hand? I guess we'll talk about it all tomorrow. See you then. Thanks.